If you watch the video, you'll remember that I emphasized in Daniel 2, the last power that appears on the scene was Rome, the iron. Comes up after Greece, and it extends to the very end when it's broken without by the stone cut out without hands. And the emphasis that it was one kingdom, the iron, all the way through, though it changed form because in the feet and the toes, the iron was mixed with clay. The point being, as I stressed, it was one kingdom, two phases. Begins at Greece, comes down, changes form, destroyed at the end of time. Two phases of one kingdom. You have a similar phenomenon in Daniel 7. You've got the fourth beast power, which arises after Greece. And then you've got the little horn power that arises out of it. And then in the end, ultimately, God establishes his final kingdom. So again, you had the last kingdom comes up after Greece, comes down to the end, changes form, ultimately destroyed at the end of time. Well, interestingly enough, Daniel 8, you've got Medo-Persia, you've got Greece, then you've got the last power that appears after Greece, the little horn, and it extends to the time of the end where it's ultimately supernaturally destroyed, just as in Daniel 2, the power after Greece is destroyed, just after Daniel 7, the power after Greece is destroyed at the end. Now, when you first look at Daniel 8, though, this little horn power that arises after Greece, it's just one symbol, little horn. You don't have the vast discrepancy of the two phases as you see in Daniel 2 and in Daniel 7. At least that's when you look at it on the surface. But I want to take a few minutes and look at the little horn power at Daniel 8, because if we look at it carefully, I believe you'll be able to see the two phases in there, just as they were in Daniel 2, just as they were in Daniel 7 for the final kingdom. It's more subtle, but it's there. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, open to Daniel 8. And if you remember, he has the vision. He sees the ram. He sees the goat. And then in Daniel 8:9, this little horn appears. And I'm going to be reading from the Hebrew, and I'm just going to translate it. If you've got your Bible, you can follow along and use your translation. Daniel 8:9, now talking about this third power, the power that comes up after Greece, because that goat is later on identified as Greece. So we're dealing with the last power in the prophecy, just as the last power in the prophecy was in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. We have that here as well. Daniel 8:9, it reads pretty much somewhat literally, and from one from them came forth a horn from littleness. Vatigdal yeter el ha-negev el ha-mitzra ve-el ha-zevi. And he waxed great, vatigdal yeter, very great, and he waxed very great to the south, el ha-negev, to the east, ha-mitzra, and to the pleasant land, or to the glorious. The word land isn't there. El Va'el Hazevi. Okay? He's describing the activity of the little horn power. Now notice something. He waxed exceedingly great to the south, to the Helmah El Hamitzra, to the east, and to the pleasant land, to the pleasant, to the glorious. Notice this is all horizontal. It's moving horizontally across the face of the earth. And what a powerful depiction of pagan Rome, which is, of course, what it did. It conquered all the whole East, the whole ancient world and at that time. But now, look what happens in Daniel 8:10. Vatigdal ad zavah hashamayim. And he waxed great to the host of heaven. Vatepal arza min hazavah umin kukavim vatir masayim. He waxed great to the host of heaven, Vatapal, and he made fall earthward from the host and from the stars, and he trampled upon them. Daniel 8:11, Va'ad Hazava, Va'ad Sar Hazava, until the prince of the host he waxed great, and from him was taken away Hatami, the daily, V'hushlak Mekon Mikdasho, and he cast down the foundation of his sanctuary. and verse 12. And a host was given him against Al-Hatamid, Bepeshah, against the daily in transgression. And he cast forth the truth to the ground, and he practiced and he prospered. Now look at what's going on in Daniel 8, 10, 11, and 12. We saw in Daniel 9, he waxed exceedingly great to the south, to the east, to the El-Hazavi, to the pleasant land. But then notice, he waxed great in verse 10 to the host of heaven, and he made fall from the host and from the stars, and he trampled upon them, and to the prince of the host he waxed great. You suddenly have a vertical attack, a religious attack. Everything that's going on here is spiritual, it's religious. He takes away the Talmid, which is the word that deals with the first apartment ministry, and he stands up against the prince of the host. He attacks the sanctuary. Now, how does he go up in heaven and do that? He can't get up. You know, how does he go up to heaven? You know, the host of heaven. How does he do that? He can't literally. This is talking about the spiritual attack in the papal Roman phase. Now, we don't have time to get into all the details of what is going on here and what this means. This is the point. You've got the ram, you've got the goat, you've got Medo Persia, you've got Greece, and you've got this little horn. Verse 9, and he goes to the south and to the east and to the pleasant land. These are a horizontal attack. It's spreading out horizontally over the earth. And then look at Daniel 8, 10, 11, and 12, and notice the vertical. It's going upward. It's a religious attack, an attack against the plan of salvation, against the prince of the host, and against his ministry in the sanctuary. And so what you see here, it's subtle, are the two phases. In this case, you see the Roman expansion across the face of the ancient world, that part of the world. Then you see the papal phase with the attack in heaven. And ultimately, though, this power is destroyed without hands. So in Daniel 2, you got one power, two different phases of that last kingdom. Daniel 7, one power, two different phases of the last kingdom. And here in Daniel 8, clearly one power, though it's a little more subtle, you got the pagan and papal phase of this final entity in Daniel 8. Thank you.